Good evening. If you will please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We'll be reading from there in just a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I am thankful for this opportunity to speak to you tonight. It is always an honor to preach from the Word of God, and yet it's humbling at the same time. I hope that you get out of this lesson tonight what I got out of it while preparing for it and studying it. Tonight we'll be talking about love found in the Bible as it pertains to God, Jesus, and others. And I appreciate Randall reading the few verses earlier, but we're going to go ahead and read the full chapter to get the full context of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And the remote's not wanting to work tonight. That's all right. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. But now faith, hope, love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. We have here the well-known passage on love. And now I realize there are many different meanings found in the Bible regarding the word love and many different Greek terms. For the word love. And I also realize this passage is mainly talking about brotherly love. But I also think that many of the different aspects of love mentioned in this passage relate to the things we will talk about regarding love tonight. And those are God's love for us, the love we should have for God, Jesus' love for us, the love we should have for Jesus, and the love we should have for others. Just look at the things we just read and look at how they do apply to the things we will be talking about. Don't a lot of these apply to the love that God has for us, especially verses 4 through 8? Don't they all apply to the love we should have for God? Don't a lot of these apply to the love that Jesus has for us and the love that we should show him? And don't all of these apply to the love we should have for others? I think the answers to all these questions are yes. So tonight, let's talk about scriptural love. And first off, we're going to talk about God's love for us. We know that God does love us. We know this from Scripture. And we're going to read some scriptures talking about this. And we're going to read from Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. And there's going to be quite a few passages that we'll look at tonight. And I've put a lot of them on the screen. So you can follow along on the screen or you can open the Word. There are longer passages that I didn't put on, that I won't be putting on the screen, that you will need to turn to. But quite a few shorter verses. We'll start again with Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God created man in his own image, and the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. So God has made us as mankind in his image. I don't know what all that means. But the fact that we're made in his image means that God has a special love for all of mankind. We'll look at more passages that deal with God's love for mankind. Look at John chapter 3, verse 16. We know this verse very well. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Romans 5, verses 5 through 8. "Hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John 4, verses 7 through 10. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So from these three passages, we see a common theme. We see that God loved mankind so much that he sent his only Son to die on the cross for us. And now I want to look at this love a little further, though, as it applies to us as Christians. 1 John 3, verse 1. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. The next passage, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us and the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. And then 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So from these three passages, we see that God loved us enough to call us his children. We are a chosen race. Christians have been chosen by God to be a special people to him. And as we just read in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, it tells us that God did all of this in love. So God has definitely shown his love toward us. First to mankind by creating us in his image, then to all by sending his Son to die for us. And then lastly, he showed his love towards us because he chose us as Christians, his special people, to be his special people. So what do we need to do in return? Well, I think the first obvious answer is that we need to love him back. And even though that is already very easy to do because he did all those things for us, God commands it of us. If we look at Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 38, it says, but when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered themselves together. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. These very words are first mentioned to the Israelites from Moses back in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And it's repeated in other passages, and Jesus repeats it here. This is a commandment that we need to follow. God expects it of us, and actually he demands it out of us, that we love him. But look at what that love takes. It takes all of our heart. It takes all of our soul. It takes all of our mind. In other words, we must love him with our whole being. Every fiber of our body should be devoted to loving God. And it reminds me of when you hear about an athlete. I don't know if you've ever heard about an athlete giving 110%. You know, it's not enough to give 100% anymore. Didn't know that it was possible to give more than 100%. But you might hear of athletes giving 110%. They're going that extra mile. It has to be that way in our love that when we show God. It has to be 110%. Joshua had the proper attitude when it came to loving God. If you want to turn to Joshua chapter 22, we're actually going to read a few more verses besides verse 5 here. Joshua chapter 22, we're going to start in verse 1. Again, Joshua had the proper attitude when it came to loving God. Joshua chapter 22, beginning in verse 1. Then Joshua summoned the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh and said to them, You have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. And have listened to my voice and all that I commanded you. You have not forsaken your brothers these many days to this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God has given rest to your brothers as he spoke to them. Therefore, turn now and go to your tents to the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan. Now look here at verse 5. Only be very careful to observe the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God and walk in all his ways and keep his commandments and hold fast to him and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Joshua tells the people here that they have done well up to this point. They've kept what Moses commanded them to do. However, he reminds them of this important advice. And he's basically saying the same thing that Moses told the Israelites several years earlier. Don't forget to love and serve God with all of your being. You've done well up to this point, but you need to continue to do that. He tells them in Joshua chapter 24, verse 14, to fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. If we want to show our love to God, we will do so by fearing him and serving him with our all. Lastly, in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, Paul says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." When we show our love for God, he causes things to work together for good. Good things happen when we show our love to God. So it is very important to love God, because not only is it a command, as we read about in Matthew 22, but we must do it with our whole being. And when we sincerely serve him with love, good things are going to happen. The next aspect of our sermon will deal with Jesus and the love he has for us, and the love that we should show him in return. There are many passages that we can talk about regarding the love of Jesus. There are passages that talk about the compassion and the love that Jesus had on the multitudes. There are passages that talk about when Jesus performed a miracle on someone who was sick, how he had compassion on them. And there's a passage even in Hebrews that talks about how Jesus can sympathize with our weaknesses because he went through temptations too, yet without sin. These passages show Christ's love for the people. And it was hard to narrow it down to a few, but honestly, when I kept studying this lesson, I kept coming back to the love that Jesus showed for us when he was on the cross and the sacrifice that he made. Even before he went up on the cross, remember how he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was in deep pain, and he prayed to God and said to him, "Let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." He could have not gone through what he was about to go through, but he knew that he had to. And why? Because of his love for you and me. Then, on that cross, going through everything he goes through, he asked the Father to forgive those very people that were putting him on the cross. Who has that attitude except for Jesus, one who has a loving and forgiving attitude? Ultimately, Jesus showed his love to us by dying on the cross for us. And we're going to look at some passages that talk about this love. If you'll turn to John chapter 10, we'll be reading the parable of the Good Shepherd. John chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him, because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I want to focus on verses 10 through 15 mostly. You see, Christ is the good shepherd. The Lord Jesus knows whom he has chosen and is sure of them. And then they also know whom they have trusted and are sure of them, sure of him. This is the love and grace of Christ. He laid down his life of himself for our redemption. He offered himself to be the Savior. He offered himself to be the sacrifice. He died in the place instead of men. Our Lord and Savior laid his life down for his sheep. Why? Because he loved his sheep. And who are his sheep? We are his sheep. He loved us. A favorite passage of mine is found in 1 Peter 2, verses 21 through 25, if you want to turn there. 1 Peter 2, verses 21 through 25. Because it really does sum up Jesus' love for us. 1 Peter 2, beginning in verse 21. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. And this passage also was great because it related back to the parable of the good shepherd. Jesus, the good shepherd, helped us not to stray like sheep when he bore our sins on that cruel cross. He is the guardian of our souls. Now, the best thing about the love of Jesus is we can't be separated from it. If you'll turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we'll begin reading in verse 34. Romans chapter 8, and we'll actually start in about the middle of verse 34, where it says, Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus. And look at verse 37 again. He says, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. We overwhelmingly conquer these things that could separate us from Jesus's love. But we make sure that nothing separates us from the love of Jesus. And we do that through Jesus Christ. So because Jesus showed his love for us by his sacrifice, what do we need to do in return? Well, obviously, we need to love him back. How do we show that love? Well, Jesus actually tells us of at least two ways. And the first way is found in John chapter 14, if you will turn there at this time. Just a few pages over. John chapter 14. Actually, a few pages back, sorry. John chapter 14. We need to keep his commandments. Because in this passage, Jesus is actually talking to his apostles. But these words can apply to us today. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another. He will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. Again, Jesus is talking directly to his apostles here. But we can still glean some information here from Jesus on what we need to do. If we truly love him, we will keep his commandments. We will keep his word, and because of that, we will be loved by the Father. Another way we prove we love Jesus is by showing our love to others, which is a great segue to our last point in just a moment. But first, in our love for Jesus, please turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. This is the great judgment scene, starting in verse 31. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The king will answer and say to them, Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. When we treat others who are in need of our compassion and help, we not only show our love to others, we are showing our love to Jesus. To the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. So it is very important, obviously, to love Jesus because he first loved us and gave his life for us. Our last point tonight deals with our love for others. As we noted earlier, we have the first and greatest commandment to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. But as Jesus says in Matthew 22, verse 39, the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So our love for others is also a commandment. And it's first talked about again in the Old Law, just like the first commandment. But Jesus also makes it a commandment that we need to follow today also. And other passages that deal with this love for others. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, and then verse 10. Verse 1, it says, Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. And then verse 10, So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. Romans 12, verses 9 and 10. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Matthew chapter 25, we just read these verses just a while ago, and we're not going to read it again. But you'll remember how Jesus praises those who cared for others. And again, he said, To the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. These sheep showed their love for others. And then Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 47. Jesus says on his Sermon on the Mount, You have heard that it was said, You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? So we need to have a love for others. We need to be a source of encouragement and support for others. And as we just read here in Matthew chapter, it should have been Matthew chapter 5, by the way, but in Matthew chapter 5, we even need to have a love for our enemies. We need to do all of this not only because it's a commandment from Jesus, but our love for others will be a good example to them. And who knows? We might also win lost souls. Because if we have a love for a lost soul, we will want their souls to be saved. I don't know if there's a reason why it appears as the first fruit of the Spirit, as it is mentioned in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But love is the first fruit of the Spirit that is mentioned, and it is a very important quality to have. And as we read at the beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we know it's the greatest between faith, hope, and love. What we talked about tonight is love that was found in the Bible, and as it pertains to how God loves us and how Jesus loves us. And we already know all that. But what we need to do in return is love them back and show it to them. And let's not forget the importance of showing our love to others. Let's remember, love never fails. If you're here tonight and you need to show your love back to the Father and the Son by being baptized in Jesus' name, or by coming forward and repenting of your sins, please come forward while we stand and while we sing.